Landscaper Supply, landscapers-supply.com. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no better spot to go get your equipment service, your heavy equipment, to go and get new equipment, power equipment, those types of things. Your materials, your supplies. Landscaper Supplies got you. Whatever you need in the yard, mulch, pine straw, like they've got it, man. They've got you covered. I bought my Blackstone from Landscaper Supply. They got grills. They got everything you need. If you're a contractor, the best thing they can give you, they have everything you need, but the thing that you need most of all is the peace of mind and knowing that you don't have to dig into half of your workday just to find a place that can get you what you need. They have great relationships with contractors, vendors, all over the place. You're getting great deals at Landscaper Supply. Big box selection, small town service, landscapers-supply.com. That's landscapers-supply.com. Before we get to Tim, Texter does ask this. Says, are Clemson fans more angry that Lane is doing it or that Dabo is not doing it?
I don't think we're at the angry that your coach is not doing it stage yet, because this is the first one for the most part. And it happens to be the head coach that you're playing against in week one. But, yeah, I don't think it's – I would say in this case today it is that it's just happening at all.
I think that's right, yeah. Now, if defensive tackle is a problem against LSU, don't think that lots of Clemson fans are not going to say, hey, we need a little help. Start looking at training camps. Let's go to Tim in Simpsonville, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Thanks for getting in.
So I think this might be my third or fourth week calling in a row, but I sure enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I retired back in February, and I enjoy listening to you guys. And a lot of times when I hear your discussion, I think about how this applies to business. And I was in public companies and private companies during my career. Been in boardrooms and things like that. And, you know, when you think about internal audit and you think about business ethics, remember the business ethics class in college, for those of you out there that went to into the business world and took those classes, that, you know, there's laws, yes, there's laws, but there's also ethics. And I think once the ethics get a little bit away from everybody, things start to fall apart. And I know your texter said, are we more mad at Dabo? I mean, more mad at Lane Kiffin or just, you know, defending Dabo or whatever, but I don't think that's the case at all. I think people just want to see a level playing field. And back to my corporate world, we all wanted to play by the same rules. We wanted some good corporate governance for our organizations, and what we're seeing in college sports now is a free for all. And I think that's the biggest concern a lot of us have, especially me growing up around Greenville, South Carolina, being a, you know, a Clemson fan, a Furman fan, and all the local colleges and state colleges around for many, many years. And, you know, for me, when I look at it, I'm like, okay, the college model is, it's gone. I mean, it's, we say college football, but it's really not. Maybe, you know, outside of Clemson and a few other good programs, I mean, are kids really going to class? You know, and for some of these fifth-year guys, they aren't going to class. We know that. And so, and some of these guys, you look at these quarterbacks, I mean, four or five of these quarterbacks are making more than four or five of the NFL first-year quarterbacks. I mean, it's by a long shot. It's not even close. So, but my point is, it all started, I remember when Texas, the Longhorn Network came on, and I thought, oh boy, here we go. You know, when that happened, then the SEC Network came about. And then Texas A&M was mad at Texas because they were had a, what, an unlevel playing field.
Right.
So what'd they do? They joined the SEC so they could get more of a level playing field. And then others joined other conferences, and that really caused the conference problem that we have today. And then the money started, and then the judges got involved. And so my biggest concern, Kwok, and you talked to us, all of us, about this, is where does it end? When does it stop? You know, when Lane Kiffin can put pro players on the field against Clemson and on Labor Day weekend, what are we to expect? I used to remember when we used to do the recruiting stuff, and you used to have a pretty good idea what teams were going to look like, and now we have no idea as a fan. And I really miss that part of the college game, the loyalty from the coaches and the players. I mean, I know I saw Lane's interview the other day, him talking about there's no loyal coaches anymore. Well, yeah, they are. Yeah, they are, Lane. You're just one of those who aren't loyal, and you have bad breakups, just like you mentioned. But my whole thing, it's not a Lane Kiffin thing. It's about this thing just totally being out of control, there being no business, there being no ethics in it. Law is one thing, but ethics is another, and there's just zero. What are your thoughts?
That's very well said, Tim. Very well said. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I think he's 100% right. And look, there is one thing he said that now you kind of have to move on to the next permutation of this, which is, okay, is this right or wrong? All right. And you make a judgment on that. But then you move on to the next one, which is, if this is the new norm, it's the Ryan Day question. I do. I feel for Ryan Day. I sympathize for Ryan Day in this situation. Not because Ryan Day needs any of these guys. I don't think Ryan Day is going to do this. Because I think he rightly understands that his roster is not in a position to need. He doesn't need to do something out of the box and uncharacteristic to make his roster whole. And the point that I'm trying to make is neither did Lane Kiffin. But if this is the way that we are now operating, do we have to get in there and do this? And that is what Clemson has been slow to do. Because it feels like, and there have been times where I think Dabo is proven correct on this, it feels like Dabo has sort of been like, let's just wait. Let's just wait and see if this self-corrects. Before we start doing this and then have to walk it back or have to change course or whatever, let's just stay on the path we're on because we believe in it. And there have been times where it's put Clemson behind, and there are times where Dabo has been proven, I would say Dabo's been proven right on all of it, but some of it that he's been proven right about has has actually not mattered because it's led to more losses for Clemson and more wins for other opponents. I do think that if there's a legitimate question, and again, we're talking about what's right and wrong and all this stuff, there is a segment of Clemson fans, Ben, I know you've seen this, there is a segment of Clemson fans that think that Vic Burley should not be punished for, we now know exactly what he is accused of doing, because they need defensive tackles to beat LSU. And so there's a pragmatism here that says, yeah, I know that's right, but we need them. We got to need it. We need this defensive tackle. We need this tight end in case something goes bad with our number one tight end. We need an all-conference caliber tight end to sit there and wait, who was with the Browns 2 days ago. We need it. Because what if something goes wrong? We got to have a plan B, and then we got to have a plan C, and a plan D, and a plan E. We have to have it. And so there's this option now to have plan B, C, D, E just at your disposal whenever you want. If you're picking up guys that get to choose between going to a practice squad or going to join another 53-man roster and going to college football, that to me is exactly where we find ourselves. Now, from a Clemson standpoint, again, there are going to be some Clemson fans who will say right now, Dabo has to do this. And they're not necessarily saying it, in my opinion, they're not necessarily saying it big picture. They actually are looking at the team that Clemson's playing and going, they are doing it. Nothing is happening to them. You know what's amazing? I got a text from somebody, a friend of mine today, okay? I got a text that said this. We are 12 days from the start of our season and still nothing happened to Ole Miss. What's the lesson you take from that? Are you okay with your principled stand? Because guess what? Luke Farelli is going to play for Ole Miss in game one of their season, and they're going to play LSU, and he's going to play all the games, and there will be a 0.0 penalty to Ole Miss.
Former Clemson student Luke Farelli.
Yeah, exactly.
Say it right, man.
Exactly. Was definitely in class, for sure enrolled. Ben, what good did it do Clemson to follow an obvious rule? It benefited Ole Miss to break an obvious rule. What good does it do Clemson? Again, I'm talking pragmatically here. I am a Pollyanna. I will absolutely take a bullet for what's right. I will take a loss for what's right. But I know that's not that's everybody. It's more complicated. I understand that. What good does it do for Clemson not to do this? To be worse at defensive tackle, even though I think it's marginally worse, because I think if you're counting on Vic Burley to help you in a college football game at any point, then you are basically just wishing and hoping. That's where I'm at on that. There are people that think ideally that this could be a starter for you, and I never have bought that. Not for a second. You better pray about Marcus Strong, and you better pray about Berberia, and you better pray about somebody else coming from the woodwork. Okay? You better pray about that hard. Because the alternative is that Dabo does this. And again, not just big picture, but because his literal opponent in the first game is doing this.
I'm drawing a blank on the offensive lineman that moved to defense.
Dietrich Pennington. God help us. Give me 12 Dietrich Pennington snaps against LSU.
Dietrich Pennington is going to be the savior of the defense. You heard it here first.
Space Eater. Right in the middle of that sucker. Just put him right on. Just put him right on the nose.
Yeah, he is going to save you. That Pennington. That move seems more necessary now, does it not?
Are you buying what I'm selling there? Like that is the question. Like, you want to do what's right. You want to, especially when it's obviously true. What's right and good for flourishing. That's what we want to do. I think that's in the bones of most people. That's what we want to do. But Ben, if you're getting screwed doing what's right every way, don't you have to pick at some point? You have to choose a thing that we are going to do. We are going to try this one because we can't keep losing every which way because no one cares.
Dietrich Pennington. He is the Adam Randall of the 2026 squad, friends.
Stop speech writing for Dabo. You know there's going to be a comparison. That's going to happen this week, probably.
Well,
that's,
you know, it worked out for us last year. Worked out for us. Ronan Hanifin, old Ronan, boy, he turned into a heck of a secondary player.
Oh, y'all remember when Vic Beasley was a fullback? Y'all remember that? That was a crazy 3 days, wasn't it? Big B, man, we put him at fullback. We put him at tight end.
Eric McClain was a tight end.
Concessions.
Oh, Eric was a tight end. We fattened him up, moved him inside.
Fattened him up. Oh, man, shout out to Eric McClain, man. I mean, I'm looking at this depth chart, man. I'm looking at this defensive tackle depth chart. You got Amari Adams. You got Berberia. You got Marcus Strong. And three ends. I mean, do you put Will Helt like with his hand down and stand up Lawson and Merritt or May? I mean, what in the world do you do? Play a 2-2-7?
Don't need any of those, man. You got Dietrich Pennington.
What do you do?
You don't need any of those.
Locker room is the port. The locker room is our NFL training camp. That's the new one. The locker room is our training camp. We'll go find one somewhere. Oh, man. I understand Clemson fans who will be like, golly, man.
Capehart doesn't have any eligibility left, right?
I mean, doesn't he, though?
He's going to make a roster. Pretty sure he's going to make the roster.
What's he going to make, though? That $3 million in quarterback money, where is it? Can it be defensive tackle money? That's all I'm asking.
Hey, as we go to break here, we were talking about the character of Lane Kiffin. I saw Brett McMurphy post this. Saw this during the break. I'm just going to read you this tweet. Walker Jones, executive director of Grove Collective, said Ole Miss had FBI sweep the building for bugs after Lane Kiffin left for LSU. Walker was looking under his desk when someone asked him what he was doing. Quote, "Just trust me. You don't know this guy like I did."
What? For
they
bugs?
Had the FBI sweep the building to make sure Lane didn't bug the building. These were his coworkers
that did this.
You think the man wants to win at any cost?
I guess so. Maybe he's more paranoid than I thought, you know?
Remember Pete Golding moved into Lane's old house, and Lane didn't tell him that the ring camera was still active.
He spied on him with the ring cameras. and talked about his staff meeting.
Yeah. Lane also today said he doesn't know Todd Monken and has never called him, doesn't have his phone number. Somebody must have called him impersonating him.
Oh, get out of here with that.
He just
Todd
wanted
Monken's a peer of yours, you jackleg.
He cares
what, is that?
What you think about. He just wanted to set the record straight. I did take that player from that NFL team, but I did not call the coach to ask permission.
I did not have direct contact with that player. I have never seen that coach before in my life. Short break. We'll come back for more. Have you seen Deshaun Watson met with the media today? Have you seen his
comments? I read his statement.
Okay.
I did.
Don't read the comments.
Well, I already know what they say.
Very good. Honestly, very good apology. We'll talk about that in a second. Very good apology from Deshaun. Did not land in the comments section. I mean, they are killing this guy.
Not a fan of old DW4 in Cleveland at all.
No, not even a little bit. We'll talk about it in a second. Let's go to the phones first. We got Jason in Columbia. Join us next on the Brad Andrew Lawyers phone lines. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Quark. Hey, Ben. You know, I was about to, just opine on the lack of morality in our modern society. And yet, Ben, I'm not sure Winger could have gotten away with She's Only 17 today. Great song. Great song.
Right.
It is funny. We've made some advances, but we're sticklers about some things. But, we have to keep a close eye on our favorite hair metal bands. They would not be able to get away with the same stuff today. But
I don't know. We get away with it in the rap genres.
That is true.
Not quite that, but, it's similar. Song. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I was answering the phone and listening to you in one ear. I just realized what I played and who we were about to talk about. So I'm guessing that is where you were going with that.
Yeah. And one thing I definitely, as a Clemson fan, not that I can speak for the fan base, I would like to personally put a pin in the idea that we're just mad because Dabo isn't a total loser cheater like Lane Kiffin or his fat slob mini me Pete Golding. I mean, that is not the issue. Okay. We've all had criticisms about Dabo being stubborn on something fronts, and I do respect the way that Ryan Day phrased it, but this is not a case of where I just look, unless we're going full upper management route and we just won't to go Joker mode and set fire on everything, which I believe I actually did call up last week and say I was advocating for.
Yes.
But unless we want to make Dabo the Joker and then achieve the end of finally getting some structure on the back end, no, I do not want Dabo to just throw all of his morals and ethics away. It's so interesting because, man, and both of you guys are literal son of a preacher, man. Right. You guys are open about your faith. I asked the question. It's like, let's say you're teaching Sunday school now and you're teaching to like teenagers or kids or whatever. Where do you point in modern society to a place where the bad guys aren't winning? I mean, our country can't even get its stuff straight enough to go after the Epstein group. And so it's like from government to big business, all the way to just what's supposed to be trivial pursuits like Major League Baseball. Falk, you're a huge baseball guy.
Yep.
The way that the Dodgers operate, whether they're actually breaking laws or committing fraud, they're certainly breaking the spirit of, everything we teach people about how they're supposed to operate on a level playing field. And now all of that has come to pass for what is a lot of us, our favorite pastime, college football, much less college basketball, obviously. So I want to be clear. I do not want Dabo to throw out all of his ethics. Sure, I'll be mad in the moment when we have losses. But I've told you this summer, Quark, and I've said maybe it makes me a soft middle-aged fan now, but I'm going into this season realizing that we're about to play a team with a $45 million roster. So, I mean, on a level playing field, am I going to be super angry if we lose? I shouldn't be. I'm sure I'll be bitter in the moment, but it's just, it's just so defeating and it's depressing to me, Quark, because it just feels like no matter where you look in the world right now, the bad guys are winning. And I never want to see Dabo feel so desperate that he has to go that route with our program. Remind me of that during the season when I'm angry, Quark.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate the phone call. He's not wrong, man. What do you do with your Sunday school class, by the way? You just go to Judges. We're doing Judges in our Sunday school class right now, so I'm preparing to teach the next two Sundays on that. And when there's no moral authority, every man does what's right in his own eyes. And when people fear man more than God, every man does what's right in his own eyes. And I think those are two descriptors of most things that are wrong in our society right now. Let's go to Scott in Greenville, who's up with us next. What's up, Scott?
Didn't Xavier Thomas get cut this weekend?
Did he? Is he still playing? I didn't realize he was in a camp.
Hey.
I'll take him.
Hey, if I'm Dabo, well, this is not going to make Dabo sit back and be patient. This is going to make Dabo want to walk away even more, I think. I think all these veteran coaches, old school guys, and I'm one of those old school guys that, you know, we used to have to read the book before we did the book reports. We couldn't just throw it in ChatGPT and AI and print out our report. But these old school guys, I think, are going to walk away, and it's going to be brutal. But if I could be coach for one day at Clemson, I'm picking up the phone and I'm telling the Power Rangers to assemble. I'm telling Deshaun, you got enough money, walk away in Cleveland. They hate you there. Come back to Clemson. They'll love you here. Come win us another championship. And I'm going to go fight fire with fire, brother. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. I know Dabo won't do that, and I know I'm speaking facetiously here, but that's what I might do if I was head man for the day. But is this going to be allowed
this
to
would,
do it all?
Now, wait a minute, Scott, because that would actually bring about Ben's apocalypse. Because, like, think about it. If Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence and Austin Bryant, Cleveland Farrell, and Deshaun Watson came back to face LSU, and Dabo, like, if that were to that would never happen. But if that were to happen, right, it would accelerate the timeline here to total destruction.
It would. But, hey, is this going to carry over into all sports? Can Package pick up the phone and call Cam Cannarell and say, hey, come on back?
I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know why not. I don't know what the limiting principle would be.
Glover?
Yeah.
If Lucas Glover gets cut on, you know, can he get called? Hey, come back and play.
I mean, you know, some people are so far gone from class. You do have to take like 6 hours. You know, you got to do something. But you're right. I mean, what is the limiting principle for this?
Yep.
I don't know what it is.
Real quick before I get off here, did the Phillies win the East yesterday with that game? I asked Fax the same thing. He said no, but I think they did. I think. Look at the schedule for the Braves from September 4th to the 25th. Look at that schedule.
The Phillies have the fifth hardest schedule remaining, though. Like, the Phillies
Braves
don't have a cakewalk.
If the Braves are playing the way they're playing today, they're winning 30% of those games the last 20-something games.
All right. And Scott, I know what you're saying. You can't react at all after you've played the Brewers, especially there.
Twins. We got swept by the Twins.
Well, I know that. But, like, I told my buddy yesterday, I was like, you have to refrain from any commentary whatsoever on the general state of your franchise after you play the Brewers, because those are the dumbest series you'll play all year. Those make you hate your life.
Dodgers tomorrow, Philly 7 out of 10. Then we got Cubs, Astros, Rays. It don't get easy, brother.
Look, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm merely saying that the Phillies have won 9 in a row, and their schedules are about to get hard too. It'll be okay. Not this week, but you know, down the stretch, it will.
I hope you're right, but I don't know. Doubting Thomas over here, brother.
I hear you, Scott. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Listen, the Braves did not play well this weekend against the Brewers. Last night's game, every time I looked up, there were two men on base and nobody scored. Nobody's ever scoring. It was the darndest thing I've ever seen. Every inning was like first and second, one out. Runners on the corners, nobody out. Like, no one ever scored. I don't know how in the world that many people got on base and nobody scored last night. I'm not saying the Braves are good, but they were playing the Brewers. The dumbest series you will play in your season are against the Brewers. The games don't make any sense. They take a guy named Jim Smith off the street, teach him to throw a 72-mile-an-hour screwball, and go six innings with one earned run. It doesn't make any sense. You've never heard of any of the people playing against you. It doesn't make any sense. They are going to beat you in a regular season series. They're not going to win a postseason series, but they will beat you in a regular season series every time, especially at their place. The Braves are beating the Dodgers this week. The Phillies are riding high. They came back from a 4-0 deficit. The Braves are low. They're going to beat the Dodgers this week. I think that's true. Let's go to Nick, who's up with us next on the Pratt & Andrew Lawyers phone lines. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Quark. I just want to say I'm glad that Dabo took the actions that he did. You know, I just want to know, where was that disorderly conduct last year during the football season, and why didn't he show it out on the field? Because, well, last year we just had a bunch of pansies playing defensive line and around the defense, so... I'm glad that he kind of got rid of, or didn't get rid of him, but suspended him for at least a few, three or four games. And then did he not come to way over camp this fall?
Yeah, I mean, that was my issue all along, Nick. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm all for second, third chances, whatever. But when you use those on football things, you don't get chances for off-field stuff, you know? And that's, I feel like that's kind of, Vic Burley's been in the doghouse for that, even before the disorderly conduct. And by the way, if you missed it early in the show, we read the whole, we read the report. It's out. So you can look at the details there and draw your own conclusions. How you feeling about the Braves this weekend? Scott asked, did the Phillies win the division this weekend?
Yeah, no, they didn't, but I don't like it all the way the Braves are playing. Even in the win yesterday, they're just sort of flat.
They're flat right
now.
There's
no life about this team. It can turn around. It's long season, and you see ebbs and flows all the time in baseball especially, but I just feel like they've been in, even in the games they've won, a bit of a slump. I mean, yesterday didn't make you feel – you had to watch to the last out. Yesterday, I mean, you had the winning run to the plate, if I'm not mistaken, at least the tying run to the plate.
That's right.
So.
I didn't love it. Okay, I don't love how the Braves are playing, but consider this. The Twins have won – that was their ninth series win in 10 when they beat you. They're hot. And you're not. I mean, that's part of it.
3-7 in their last 10.
Yeah, the Brewers make you play the dumbest brand of baseball that there's ever been. Like, you're not going to out-brewer the Brewers. You're going to have to slug against them, and they pitch in a way. Again, I watched those games this weekend, and it is the worst form of torture watching your team play the Brewers.
Yeah, and Texter reminds us, talking about the Phillies, you've still got 7 games with the Phillies ahead of you. That's likely going to decide the division.
I still think the Braves are better than the Phillies. I told my buddy this weekend, I think the Braves are going to win the division by 5 games. And right now, they are up 3 games. The Phillies are not getting hotter than this. They were down 4 runs and scored 6 in the ninth, for crying out loud. All right, final segment. We'll wrap up the show with some odds and ends right after this.
The Roar's College Football Kickoff Show is back. Join host Scott Reimer and all your Roar favorites at the Southern Weaving Food Hall, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Join us at 210 Fern Street, right here in Easley. The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
South Carolina Education Lottery. The lottery is for students. It's for you. It's fun to play. It's fun to win, all that jazz. But when you play, you're benefiting South Carolina students. That's just the bottom line. And when you play the lottery, here's where the money goes. It goes directly into scholarships at in-state universities and colleges for in-state students. So South Carolinians can better their lives and better their family situations and further their educations with help from the South Carolina Education Lottery. We're talking over $8 billion that has gone to higher ed, and still hundreds of millions more than $1 billion more into K-12 classrooms in the state. For more on how you can benefit education and how to play, go to sceducationlottery.com/BETTER and the letter U.
The MLB lives here.
That ball is gone!
The Roar.
Accidents happen. If you've been injured in a car, motorcycle, or boating accident, you need to seek legal help as soon as possible. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, can evaluate your case to help you get the full compensation you deserve. The call and the consultation are completely free. Don't wait. Call today. 864-654-3680. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
Jeff Carey here from Sit and Sleep Upstate Furniture Galleries. Get comfort for your home today. We've got recliners for just $3.99, reclining sofas for just $8.99, even power reclining sectionals, $29.99. Plus, sleep better with a queen mattress set.
Segment of the show. Thanks for joining us. 654-ROAR, you want to get in. Pratt Andrew Large phone lines, Adams & Co. Roofing text line. Ben, we have not yet really talked about Deshaun Watson today. We've been talking about a lot of other stuff. We get good interaction today. Phones and text line have been hopping most of the show. Deshaun Watson was named the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns today after a weekend that had most people convinced he would never play another game for the Cleveland Browns. And honestly, the only way that any of this makes sense is money. That's the only way that it makes sense. The fans booed him. He got mad at the fans. How he issued an apology today, and the apology seems legit. It seems genuine. You've listened to a good bit of it over there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like he's doing what he can do at this point. I don't think it's ever going to work. I mean, he talked about how personal it was when the fans booed him because of coming back from the injuries, and they cheered him when he got hurt, which is true. That's terrible. Never in a million years would I say that's okay. But it feels like it's just a combustible situation where he doesn't want to be there, the fans don't want him there, and ownership doesn't have a choice. There's too much money at stake that he's still owed that no one is going to take on. They basically have to keep putting him out there, right? I mean, that's the only reason any of these choices make sense.
I don't think they're putting him out there because they have to pay him whether he's playing or not on the field. I mean, they don't. So I don't think it's – I don't know if it's financial anymore. It feels like, for me, that ship has sailed. I mean, you got to eat that big contract regardless. I think it has more to do with the fact that Shedeur Sanders is not an NFL quarterback. He's just not. I'll say this for him, though. He played very well in the scrimmage on Saturday. He outplayed Deshaun Watson on Saturday. In the first one, he did not. He was horrible. I was forced to watch this because I have family members that love the Cleveland Browns. The NFL Network, and I can't remember who their studio guys were. I have never, ever, and not an exaggeration, ever heard studio host root so hard for one player in Sanders and against the other in Watson as those guys.
Really?
It was unbearable. And I thought, I'm not going to say a word to my son about this and see if he brings it up. When we saw each other Saturday, the very first thing he said, like, did you happen to hear such? And I don't really care. I mean, I know where Watson went to school, but, you know, I would love to see a redemption story. It's probably not going to happen. That's a lot against – I mean, there's a lot that you'd have to overcome if you're Deshaun Watson, but – I thought Faxon and Sam did a pretty good job, did a great job actually covering this on their show today. And Sam is a Browns fan, but their first two games are on the road, and you can switch from Watson to Sanders if those first two games go poorly, and then you're home in week three. You can switch from Watson to Sanders much easier than you can switch from Sanders to Watson.
And you know what? That's a really good point. If the combustible part of it is at home, Deshaun even said in his rant this weekend that he gets more love on the road.
They hate him. I mean, I'm not even convinced winning makes that part that they absolutely hate him. And I think this is beyond the allegations and the lawsuits.
Agreed.
At this point. This is the contract. Now, and I'm not trying to deflect from Watson. He brought on a lot of this himself. He didn't bring on his contract, though. You can't blame him for signing a huge contract. You blame the Browns for taking that contract. I think Browns fans are just fed up with the way their franchise has handled quarterbacks for years. And the baggage and the polarizing nature of the position by the players that they recruit that the Browns have done for a decade. I mean, we're talking Johnny Manziel, and they ate Josh McCown's contract back in the day and then never even played, cut him before the season started. And
Baker Mayfield?
Baker Mayfield and now Deshaun. I mean, there's a long line of continuing to bring in unstable situations to an unstable franchise at that position. And I think this is a bubbling over of Browns fans for their franchise in that position. And Deshaun Watson is perhaps the worst quarterback you could put into that position.
I think they're more mad about Watson than they're mad at Watson.
Agreed.
I think the Deshaun Watson gets the full force of the frustration with ownership. Listen, I root for the Cincinnati Reds. Our ownership is an abomination, and the front office is terrible. Dane Myers was a scrap heap pickup for us that dropped the ball in left center field, and that guy got mercilessly booed. They'd be a 45-win team without Dane Myers playing in the outfield. You'd have a full AAA outfield. He's the only big league outfielder they have in the outfield a lot of days. But he, for that day, he was everything that's been wrong with that franchise for a decade and more, three decades. Deshaun Watson is the caricature of everything that Browns fans hate about their organization. That, now, it's not totally detached from the personal issues, the criminal and civil issues that he dealt with in Houston, because the reason people are mad is because you gave that guy that contract now. Then he comes in, he's a bum, and he gets hurt multiple times. And we have to pay him. It's all guaranteed. Every other franchise can cut up their quarterback's contract anytime they want. We're the one team that has to keep doing this. He has a almost $41 million cap hit this year. As somebody, how many games did he play? 15 games? I mean, he hadn't played. He's been there 4 years. He hadn't played. He'd been hurt half the time and ineffective when he's played. For him to say it's personal, I do think there's something to that, but I don't think it's personal against Deshaun Watson. I think it's personal against ownership for the fans. And Deshaun is just the latest example of ownership totally failing that fan base. So I feel like Deshaun knows it's personal because, honestly, I think Deshaun has a lot of regrets in his life, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think he feels a little guilty about not being able to back up his contract, and so I think it's very personal to him. For Browns fans, I don't think the fact that it's Deshaun Watson, if they gave that contract to anybody with his set of circumstances, they would be pissed at that person. That, to me, makes it a little more professional in nature and not like, we hate you, Deshaun Watson, for purely Deshaun Watson reasons.
Yeah, and you're right. Had the legal issues not have ever happened, they would still be frustrated. That just makes it easier. And I'm not saying it's not unwarranted either. I get it. But I would say this. There have been great athletes who've done horrible things that people forgive, and because they're really good and they contribute. And winning seems to cure everything. And Deshaun just simply has not done those things.
And you know what? At this point, he's not going to. They're not
highly unlikely.
Like they traded Myles Garrett because they're going to lose this year. They're going to try to lose this year, and they're going to try to start over. And so you know what? I agree with you about Shador Sanders. I don't think Shador Sanders is long-term an NFL quarterback. I don't think so. But for fans, and you know what? For me, I would rather lose with a guy who's not being paid $40 million off my cap. If I'm going to lose, I'd rather lose with a rookie and just see if there's some upside there.
It's a no-win situation because you're – no matter what, it's going to come back to Watson. If it's fifth-round draft pick Shedeur Sanders, you're going to go, well, see, you can't go get another – you can't get a better quarterback because you're paying Deshaun Watson.
Right.
You know, you haven't – you don't have great options. I told Faxon and Sam during one of the breaks today, if ever there's a franchise who needs Kirk Cousins.
Oh, come on down, Kirk Cousins. Oh, my gosh. You know, Sam makes a good point. Sam says if Deshaun has a lot of regrets in his life, he probably shouldn't have said verbatim, publicly, quote, I don't regret anything in my life.
This is also true.
He also said he doesn't listen to fan criticism like a few days ago, and then clearly he does. That's all projection. It's all like I know what he said. Look at his body language. Look at his demeanor. The guy clearly is bothered by getting booed. He doesn't like it at all. He feels responsible. And you know what I also think? I think he knows he can't fix it. Physically, after tearing your Achilles twice, you're in decline. Your athleticism's gone.
Yeah, nobody's going to argue that.
I mean, I think that's a guy who knows he's washed. He's never going to be able to fulfill the terms of his contract. He's hated in one, if not multiple spots at this point. I think Houston, he's probably okay. But for sure at Cleveland, he has to work every day in a place that hates him.
And he's opening the first two games on the road against the other Clemson quarterback and a team that Cleveland feels like they should beat. And then against Baker Mayfield in week two.
Oh, man. Do they come within a touchdown of either the Jags or the Bucks?
I mean, if he starts 0-2, they're not started. They're not bringing an 0-2 hated quarterback back to Cleveland to start week three. They're just not.
It's such a this is such an obvious move the guy.
They will need to triple security if they do.
Yes. I mean, Deshaun Watson would be such a good like change of scenery candidate if his contract weren't so enormous and all guaranteed and him be like PR radioactive. There's nowhere for him to go except the bench. The bench is the only place. You know what? The Colts should trade him for Anthony Richardson. Let's just do a direct swap of backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, no thanks.
Let's just do that.
I mean, unless they need a good tight end.
I'll take him. Look, Daniel Jones is going to rip his Achilles in 3 to 5 weeks. Just wait. I'm ready for that. Tamer from Seneca says, I think he gets hurt again. I hate to say it, but I've wondered the same thing.